Blog Talk Radio.
Another show here on Just Getting Settled. We've had one heck of a day around here. All sorts of things and surprises coming at Groomer Talk. I tell you, with all that's going on behind the scenes here. Today, we're going to have with us Mary Oquendo. I'm going to give you an idea of just some of the things. This is one busy contributor to our industry, and she's also brought another friend and contributor along with her. Many of you at Groomer Talk will, of course, know her as a working chihuahua at Groomer Talk. She's also a GroomWise.com blogger with us, Pet First Aid and Care. She is a certified master pet tech instructor, one of 11 worldwide. She is a columnist for Groomer to Groomer. She's the East Coast chair of the Professional Cat Groomers Association of America. She's the owner of Positively Pretty Mobile Grooming, now 12 years. She's also recently the recipient of the 2012 David Salzberg Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Pet Industry. She's a board member of the Groomer Emergency Assistance Fund. More closely to her, she's an advanced crystal master, a Reiki master, I hope I pronounced this right here. It's a Manai Ki practitioner. She is the co-owner of Hands and Paws Reiki for All. She is also an author of Let's Go Fido and Crystals for Your Pets. So we've got a lot we can learn from Mary, and I'm going to look for her here. I believe, Mary, if you're out there, I'm going to be unmuting you in just a moment here, and you'll hear me.
Hey, Stephen,
Mary,
it's Mary.
You?
Okay, yes, it's me.
Great. I chose the right one. I want to double check with you. Is Elena's, is that how I pronounce her name?
Ileana.
Ileana. Oh, boy, far different. Now, I believe I do have her on the line here. Shall I go ahead and at least we'll put her on the phone with us now?
Yes.
Okay. Ileana, is that you with this ends in 3190?
That is me. Good evening.
Okay, perfect. Well, we're going to go ahead here, but for those of you that are listening live on the phone, if you do have a question, the way you raise your hand is you're going to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. That'll raise your hand. But first, we got plenty of talking we're going to be doing here. So, Mary.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead, because you know more about Ileana than I do. Why don't you at least tell Paprika who we've got with us?
Well, Ileana called me a couple months ago or so that she felt so affected by the travesty of Hurricane Sandy that she wanted to be able to do something to help her fellow groomers. So she's... it was her brainchild for the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund. So when she asked me would I want to be a board member, I was like thrilled and honored that she had asked me. But this truly is her brainchild. She has put so much time and effort into this, probably tons more time and effort than the rest of the board members combined.
Excellent. Ileana, why don't we take a moment and you tell us a little bit more about yourself, how long you've been in grooming and what you do, just so we all know.
I am currently the owner, along with my husband, with a mobile grooming service. It's called Lather Up Pups. And we have been in business for 5 years very successfully. We now employ one of our children also. As Mary pointed out, I have been very very affected. I wanted to have something that when we have situations like Sandy, like Oklahoma, we can centralize the help. A lot of people are so eager to help but don't know just what to do, who to reach out to. And I spoke about these over and over since Sandy and just could not get a real clear picture of people wanting to help. They did not know how to go about it. And I found out it just takes a lot of time to get these together. Sometimes, you know, things happen and it's a blessing in disguise. My husband has been ill and he's been home a lot. So him and I together had done the paperwork, the challenging submitting for the State Department, for the State of Delaware, for the IRS, and we have launched the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund. It is a nonprofit group, and we are in the process of finishing our website this week. And it just gives people a point of reference. If you're wanting to make a monetary donation, if you wanted to donate equipment for the groomers that have lost it all, you know where to come, and we can point you in the right direction. I did take time to build a board of directors that was people that are appreciated in the industry, that carried a lot of respect, that are known for their work ethics, and I'm very proud to say that we have a very, very amazing board of directors. This is definitely a work of love. And you know, it's one of those things that we hope we never need, but as Mother Nature has shown us the last couple of years, we better be prepared.
Exactly. So, and then, Mary, how did you come aboard with that project?
Ileana asked me.
Okay. That simple, huh? Okay. So
it was that simple. I was, like I said, I was really honored and thrilled that she had thought enough of me to ask.
I've been in the industry for 25 years, so I've been following these ladies and everything they do. And one thing that they all have in common, they are a bunch of very, very busy ladies. But in my head, that translated to access. A lot of people know them. They know a lot of people. People are going to reach out for them when they need guidance. And I figured that is probably the best way that we can connect to people. You know, people know this. I mean, I'll just give you the names of our board of directors. We have Mary Oquendo. We have Judy Cantu, Ellen Sack Arlig. We have Jennifer Walker from Kansas. We have Don Omboy, and we have Daryl Connor. And, you know, we are geographically spread enough that we're reachable. We can contact more people. We can just be able to give more help.
I see. Can you give people an idea of what was the primary needs that came from the groomers affected by Sandy? When they came to you for assistance, what was the most common things that they were really in need of?
Well, by the time I formed the Groomers Emergency Fund, this was July of this year, and Sandy had come about October of last year. And there was a lady by the name of Nancy Brewer that had reached out to the groomers in the area. I live in Wilmington, Delaware, and the New Jersey area really, really got hit hard. I have pictures. What they needed, believe it or not, what they needed the most were flashlights, batteries. Then they needed to be pointed in the right direction, how to contact their insurance, how to reach out to each other for help. At that point, many of us wanted to be there, but we couldn't get there because there was no gas for us to be able to get back home. So it was kind of a caravan type thing that we developed. I remember Nancy coming here to pick up. My living room was packed with supplies, clothing, shoes, just essentials, you know. Toiletries, little toiletries, the local hotels, they just donated a bunch of toiletries, and we made little baggies, and we put that together, and we sent that off to the shelters in New Jersey. After, literally, the water settles, that's when the groomers need to go and assess what happened to their shots. And we have quite a few ladies that absolutely lost it all. We have many that were able to save their equipment and their salons or their mobile vans, but had no clientele because their clientels were affected. So now they needed financial guidance, you know. How do you go about applying to your insurance for loss of income? You know, these type of things, and this is what we're trying to develop. It's not just handing out money, but it's trying to help you with the resources that you have readily available that you just may not know how to use.
Excellent. And are you still working with some of these groomers now?
We are. We are. We have a lady by the name of Deanne in the Pennsylvania area that her entire shop literally collapsed as she was there. And she's slowly rebuilding. And at Expo, she came in and through the help of the groomers mall and Frank Rowe, we were able to get her a lot of her equipment and supplies at cost.
That's excellent. Great. I know that some applied for government assistance. How did that work? Did any stories on that? I mean, was it slow or?
My understanding on that is that there wasn't much direction, and the few that apply are still waiting.
Yeah. Overwhelming. Great. Well, what do you see in the future? Are you going to keep this going on? In perpetuity in case something else happens?
We are. Right now we are getting an auction started with some art donations from Amber Brooks. Lisa Leedy is going to be running our auction, and the goal is to constantly be having some form of fundraiser. So when the need arises, the money is there readily available to help others. And then, you know, I have other projects up my sleeve. I want to work on getting the groomers, getting the groomers better educated about insurance, about how to protect themselves. And, you know, I see there is a lot of work to be done.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you on behalf of just my family who's been in grooming 52 years and probably a lot of other groomers. It's just wonderful, that assistance that you've given to the people. If someone wanted to contact you, how did they contact the Emergency Assistance Fund?
Well, right now they can send us an email, and it's, we use our initials and the year of the organization starting. So that is GEAF2013@AOL.com. That is also the email for PayPal if anybody wants to make a donation, GEAF2013@AOL.com. And our website that we are working on as we speak is GEAF2013.org. We also have a Facebook page. That's where it all started. And it's the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund.
Excellent. Mary, do you have any stories to relate of, you know, what was going on during this, what you participated in? And tell us a little bit more of what was it like to get the award. Tell us about the David Salzberg Award.
I wish I could tell you what it was like to get the award, but I wasn't in Las Vegas at the time. I had a family wedding that I had to go to that same week, and unfortunately it was a family member that I liked. So I couldn't blow them off and say, oh, gee, I have this award that I'm getting in Las Vegas. I can't go to the wedding. I actually wanted to go to this wedding, but I was thrilled. I was shocked. I was shocked that I was nominated. So when the nomination came out and my name was there, I was like, for what? You know? So I was pretty excited about the nomination and thrilled beyond belief that I had won. It's sitting in my curio. The award is sitting in my curio cabin in the living room so I can walk past it every single day. But specifically what I was doing during Hurricane Sandy was working with the shelters along the New York coast, that's the Long Island, along the Connecticut coast, and into more Westchester area of New York. So just after New York City east, with the shelters that were really devastated. The Bridgeport shelter was just practically destroyed. So they needed a lot of supplies. I had worked specifically with Blankets and Bowls, and Blankets and Bowls is sort of like a clearinghouse, kind of like what Nancy and Ileana were doing. She collects all the stuff that they need, and then she brings it to where it's needed the most. So she gave me her wish list of what they really needed, and I collected. I got a lot of the local veterinarians to donate. They needed a lot of stuff, and got a ton of gift cards for Petco, so I went shopping, which is always a lot of fun, and sent them down several carloads of materials and supplies for the shelters that needed the most along the coast. The groomers along Long Island and Connecticut were not nearly as hit hard as those were in New Jersey. New Jersey was just simply devastated.
Wow. Well, we're going to move on to our next subject. Ileana, you're welcome to stay on the phone with us.
Thank you.
And listen, and that would be great, because something still may come up on that. And we will, I want to make sure that we get a place to let the contact information you gave. We'll get that up at Groomer Talk. I think we have it in a place, but I'll do something more formal there for the people. Now, Mary, a lot of people haven't still taken their pet first aid classes and all, and you really, now you've become, well, a certified master pet instructor. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what can we do to encourage more groomers to come and do this?
Oh, you know what? We care for other people's pets. Can you imagine taking your kid to a daycare and then the people who work at the daycare are not certified in first aid or pet or CPR? I mean, you couldn't imagine that. But I guess the reason I became an instructor in the first place was because of Bingo. Bingo was he was such a sweet little Maltese. He was 9 years old, and I knew he had a heart condition, and he had clearance from his vet to be groomed, but he still had a heart attack on my table, and I didn't know what to do. It was like 6 years since I had taken a pet first aid class, and I couldn't remember the protocols for CPR. He came too, but, you know, the lights were on and nobody was home. And the best I could do for him was simply to bring him to the vet where he had been later put down. That really affected me. I mean, I loved Bingo. He was such a great dog. Mom was devastated. And I felt helpless because it just never occurred to me that a pet really could have a heart attack on your grooming table, and here Bingo did. So that's probably why I really push, you know, you got to learn pet first aid. You got to learn pet first aid. And then retake it in 2 years. They are definitely use them or lose them skills, because I absolutely lost my skills because I hadn't taken the class in 6 years. So we care for other people's pets, and we should be responsible enough that if something happens that we can take care of it.
What should someone attending this, how often, or not how often, how long is the typical class? Is it a day class?
Well, there's various classes that you can take. A basic class probably should be at least 4 hours. That would cover enough. It's not just CPR. It's choking. It's poisoning. It's bleeding. I mean, heat and cold injuries. There's a lot that goes into a good quality pet first aid class. And there's a lot of material to cover. So I would say a minimum class should be at least 4 hours. And we teach the classes that we teach at the trade shows. It go anywhere from five, and on occasion we'll do an eight-hour class. And it's just more in more detail and covers more subjects.
And what do they get, like a certificate of completion? What how does that work?
They should get a certificate of course completion, and that's just semantics.
Right.
But the class also should be a hands-on class. It's just not. It shouldn't be a video up on the wall. You should. The class that you take, there should be stuffed animals for you to practice on, so that you go through the skills yourself, and you'll have better retention of those skills if it's a hands-on class as opposed to a seminar.
And so right now the classes are only done on a hands-on basis. Is that correct?
The classes that I teach are hands-on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There's lots of programs out there for Pet First Aid. There is no continuity currently. There's a program called Recover, and I forget what the initials stand for, but anyway, what it is that the American Animal Hospital Association is looking to have protocols for Pet First Aid the same that they have for people CPR. I mean, if you take a human CPR class, no matter who teaches it or where you take that class, it is exactly the same, because those are the protocols that are put out by the American Medical Association. There is no such guidelines in the pet industry. So classes that you take can vary widely between instructors and course materials. What Recover is looking to do is to set guidelines that Pet First Aid instructors have to follow. But that's a long way off.
So it actually should give the groomer a lot of peace of mind that, you know, emergencies can hit any of us in our business.
Mm-hmm.
He should have a lot more peace of mind. They'll be ready to handle it.
Yeah, because you're calmer. We did a Pet First Aid class on Sunday in which one of the participants opened up her car door with such force that she sliced open her forehead. This is the first time we had an actual injury during a Pet First Aid class. But, you know, Beth and I were very calm and, you know, treated her injury and sent her off to the emergency room for stitches.
Now, if someone wanted to learn more about the classes, where would they go to? We'd like to get that into here now.
They could always contact me. I could always help them locate a Pet First Aid instructor in their area. The program that I teach is Pet Tech. You could always go to Pet Tech's website, and that's www.petech.net, and they can pull up a list of instructors based on their area. And I believe the website can also list classes, individual classes. So if somebody lives, let's say, in Delaware, and they pull up the instructors for Delaware, if any of those instructors actually have classes going on, it should come up on the website.
Now, I know that you do the positive educational training seminars, and we'll talk about that, but do you do any of the Pet First Aid at all, even though it's got to be done in person?
Not online.
Not online at all, right? It's got to be done.
Not online at all. It's for me, that defeats the purpose of a Pet First Aid class. It should be a hands-on. If I'm going to teach you CPR, I want to see you do it on a stuffed dog.
Yeah, and I can see that, because if I was trying to learn, I'd want someone to say, you know what you're really doing? You're not doing this.
Yeah, and, you know, go over and over it until you actually get the right hand placement, and I can see how deep into the chest you're pushing, and the same thing with the bleeding and choking. You know, you just want to make sure that before I say I give you that certificate, I know you've done the at least in front of me, that I've showed you the proper way to do it, and you demonstrated it back to me that you understood.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And listeners, if you have some interest in what goes into a first aid kit, Mary did an article for us in eGroomer, and that was 2011, back a couple years now. But there's a great article with a list, a checkoff list, at all, I believe it's, well, actually, if you just go to egroomer.com, click topics and say pet first aid, it'll tell you what issue. I believe that was summer of 2011 in that issue. If not, it's the fall 2011 issue. And that was great because there you have it. You made up a real nice list and checklist for everybody to put together. Every groomer should have one of those first aid kits that they're on site in their van or location.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so while we're at it, though, at Positive Educational Training, there's many contributors there that do the training, but what were your classes that you taught through that system?
I guess my favorite class is my salon sanitation class. I think that's something that a lot of groomers take for granted, about taking care of their equipment and cleaning up and disinfecting their equipment in between pets. And what to use and what not to use also as far as products are concerned with cats. There's lots of cat groomers out there. And unfortunately, uh-huh, in the pet industry, the words cat safe, dog safe, pet safe is not regulated. There's no agency, there's no state agency, there's no federal agency that says that you have to submit paperwork to prove it. It is strictly up to the manufacturer to put that labeling onto their bottles. But so you should know yourself what is safe to use around, especially cats, and what is not.
Mm-hmm. Great. So weren't you one of the main organizers of that effort, the Positive Educational Training?
Oh, yeah. That's my little baby.
So why don't you tell people who else is actively participating with that?
We're taking a little hiatus right now. We are going to revamp it. And probably the beginning of next year or so, we should be back up. I mean, we're up, and we have stuff that is in the on-demand library that is still available, but we're not doing live classes right now and probably won't do live classes until the new year.
Mm-hmm. It's actually great, you know, when in winter, when for at least for some groomers, it slows down. It's a nice time early in the year. I know we get tremendously double the normal traffic at the beginning of the year. So we'll look forward to seeing what you guys put together.
Yeah, we have to get past the holidays. It's coming up into the busiest time of the year for the groomers.
Exactly. I understand. Now let's go into how did you choose to become a mobile groomer? What made you choose the mobile route?
Okay. I was working for a corporation, and I was going to Hershey, and I went with a friend of mine. In fact, went with Beth. Beth is the girl that I co-teach the pet first aid classes with, and we both worked for the corp. We wanted to go to Hershey, and we just kind of asked them, just don't make us take our vacation day. Give us a training day. We'll pay for our hotel. We'll pay for our classes. Just don't make us take vacation day. But they made us take a vacation day so we can go to be better groomers for them. So we get there, and, you know, we're taking our classes. And that's where I took initially my first pet first aid class. And I was talking to the instructor only to find out that the weekend before he had taught the very same corp Biggies, the class, which was paid for by Petco, the corp. I got really angry over that.
Okay.
And because I paid for that first aid class myself, paid for all the training myself, and all the people that were there that had booths from the corps was paid for by the corps. So people who weren't even groomers were getting to go to the trade show and not pay for it, but the groomers who groom them had to pay for everything. I was so pissed. I was walking past the mobile grooming vans, and I just put a deposit down.
That did it.
And that was it. 2 months later, four months later, I had my van, and I was on my own.
And you, now, Do you still groom pretty much full-time, or are you a part-time mobile?
No,
with all these other things you do?
No, I would say, honestly, I'm grooming more or less part-time. It's still more than part-time. I would say three-quarters. Still pays my bills.
Sure. Well, there's always those to pay, isn't there? But when I look at all the things you're involved in, yeah, I know, all that free time. I tell you.
Yeah,
so
I know, all that free
time. You still highly recommend mobile grooming and all that.
Oh, honestly, for people like me, we're very independent. It's nice being able to just kind of do my own thing. I set my own schedule. I set my own pricing. I'm the boss. And I couldn't do just that, at least not in my area. I couldn't just do that in a shop. It would be hard for me just to be myself and actually make an income in a shop. I would have to have employees. I would have to have a bather. And I don't have to do that being mobile. So I can, and when I first started mobile, my biggest issue is my father. My father at the time was in a nursing home, and he was not doing so hot. And he needed to go to a lot of doctor's appointments, and that was kind of fell to me. So I needed to have the flexibility to take him where he needed to go and not have to shut down a business. I just wasn't working that day. That was all.
I see. Let me, I want to also then ask you about the Professional Cat Groomers Association. Now, how did you become involved with this?
One of the board members had stepped down, and there basically was an opening. And Kim asked if I would mind, and I was like, yeah.
Now, is your mobile business, do you do some cats? You actively got regular cats?
I'm actively grooming cats, yes. Okay. I have. I focus a lot. My particular mobile grooming business is probably 75% elderly clients. So I do a lot of the older cats, the older dogs.
As the chair, what's going on? And what benefits are there to being in? Let's ask that. In a Professional Cat Groomers Association, what benefits will that do for the groomer?
Well, first of all, continuing education. When I first started grooming, there was no cat association at all. There was no real cat information at all. If you groomed dogs and the cat came in, well, then you groomed the cat. There was no information on product safety. There was no information on cat behavior, which kind of learned by trial and error. It's really different than dog behavior. So the associations are, a good way to network, a good way to get information, to talk with other groomers who do groom cats, about behavior, about techniques, about equipment, about knowledge. The Professional Cat Groomers Association has their own certification process that is very detailed, that goes into different cat breeds. I mean, I saw a poster one time, and there was like a picture of six different cats and six different dogs, and under the dog's name was the specific breed, and underneath the cat pictures, which just said cat, 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 cat. So, and I thought that was really indicative of a lot of groomers that they can tell you what breed any given dog is, but they can't tell you what the breed of a cat is. It's long hair or it's short hair.
Got it. So, where would people? Because I want to get this recorded again on our tape. Now, where is the website or a Facebook page for that association?
Yes, they do have a Facebook page. It's the Professional Cat Groomers Association of America. And the website, hold on, I believe it's procatgroomers.com, and let me just double-check that for you. I just never go to the website. Let's just double-check that. Procat. Nope. Might be professionalcatgroomers.com.
Okay. Spelled out professional.
Kim is going to yell at me, just so that you know. There we go. It's professionalcatgroomers.com.
Okay, great. All right, I'm putting that on my list. We'll get that down as another contact if I haven't already on the board. Now, do you find that cats like being groomed in a mobile environment? Is it actually less threatening?
I find for the most part they're much happier in a mobile environment. First of all, there's not other dogs there, and there's also not other cats there. Because sometimes cats, yeah, it's in, it's out, it is very fast.
Let me ask you, when you transport a cat from the house up to the mobile, do you use a carrier?
Oh, absolutely.
Get that word of advice out there, because I was just talking with someone who went in.
And I make sure the carrier is secure, because there's a lot of times.
I've had someone lost a cat transporting out to her mobile. This was a couple weeks ago, and it was just like, double check those door latches, you know, the carrier latches and everything.
Well, I don't rely on the owner's carrier. I have my own carrier. I'll come in the house with my carrier. And because I don't want the cat captured before I get there, because now the cat is all stressed out while it's sitting in the carrier waiting for me to get there. I would much rather go in the house, greet the cat, and then put the cat in the carrier and take him out to the van. It's much less stressful on the cat doing it that way.
Now, I want to move on, because I think it's something certainly very unique, and we can sort of tell people that you did a great article. You and I, you know, since I typeset it the other day and did the photos, I haven't even had a chance to talk to you, but I really enjoyed this article that you did. Coming up in about 2 weeks, we're going to release an e-groomer, and you brought in the topic of how to incorporate alternative care such as Reiki into a grooming business. And I think, you know, there are groomers out there that are going to have an interest in that. I don't think most people still even understand Reiki or alternative cares, but I think they need to realize there are pet owners with a great interest in this. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Oh, absolutely.
How did you get started with that, with not just for the human, but to bring it into the pet environment, something very unique?
Honestly, I just never went into it for the people. I always went into it for the animals, and I didn't start off with Reiki. I started off with crystals first, and then sort of went mainstream with Reiki, to be honest. A lot of my clients just thought I was insane when I started talking to them about crystals. But many of them now will shoot me an email thinking, well, I think what crystal should I have for my cat today? You know, so I get a lot of that now, and I didn't get that a couple of years ago. So the more knowledge that is out there, the more the interest is piqued. A lot of my clients love the fact that I offer Reiki and I have crystals all over my van. I have had several clients tell me they like to bring their pet out to my van so they could sit in my van for a minute, because it just feels so nice. But I started off with crystals.
So how did you get that knowledge of crystals? Where was your education in crystals from?
Well, initially a lot of it was self-taught, because there wasn't a lot of information out there. Once I started to become more involved with it, I was able to then, you know, attract like people, and started to find a lot of people who were very knowledgeable about it, and I've taken some classes with some of with Stephanie Moon, who runs the Hibiscus Moon Academy, and she is one of the few certified places to learn about crystals. But a lot of it was self-taught as I sort of experimented with myself and my own personal dogs until I was able to locate a couple of places where I can go for, you know, continuing education and get my own certification in it.
What do you tell people when they say, how can a crystal do this and whatever? I mean,
I try to be as scientific as possible with it. But the way crystals work is that crystals have a measurable frequency. You could take a crystal, an amethyst, a rose quartz, a clear quartz, whatever it is you want, you take that crystal into a lab, and you can measure the frequency of that crystal. Crystals have what is called a dominant oscillatory rate, and it just means the vibrational level is stable. It's not going to change. If it's 7.8, it's 7.8. It's not affected by outside influences. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't get stressed out. It doesn't eat poorly. So its vibrational level stays the same. Whereas people and animals, our measurable frequency does not stay the same because, you know, we'll eat McDonald's as opposed to having that healthy dinner, or we're coming up on the holidays and everything is so stressful. And all that can knock us basically out of alignment. So what the crystals do, do you remember in, like, grade school when the teacher brought out the tuning forks? And she would
thinking about tuning forks, yes. Mm-hmm.
And she would take one tuning fork and she would make it vibrate, and the other tuning forks that were in and around the room would all start to vibrate.
Mm-hmm. That's
called entrainment. So that the dominant tuning fork, the one that was vibrating, entrained the other tuning forks to vibrate, and that's what crystals do. They will entrain the human body or the pet's body back to the frequency that it is supposed to be, and if you're operating at the right frequency, your body can start to heal itself. So I don't in any way, shape, or form tell someone, no, don't go to your doctor. I would say, yes, please go to your doctor. Please continue taking your medication and let them know what you're doing.
So now if that's crystals. Now what, for people, a lot of people don't know, then what is Reiki doing?
All right, Reiki, it works on the same, on a very similar principle on that. That's energy work. We as living beings have basically energy circuits that run throughout our body, sort of like little electrical lines. I kind of liken it to that's what puts the light in your eyes, right? What makes us alive is that we are filled with energy, and that energy runs throughout our body. Now, if there's a kink someplace, if there's a short circuit someplace, and the energy can't run throughout your body, then there's going to be a problem. And sometimes then the problem can start to get a little bit worse. Now the blockage is getting longer. If you have, let's say, high blood pressure, and you don't treat the high blood pressure, it can lead to a heart attack. It could also lead to kidney failure. So by addressing things, A, when they're minor, will just keep you healthier throughout your life. But if you already have illnesses, getting your body back to having the energy flow through it, back to having the vibrational level back where it is supposed to be, your body can start to heal itself. Marcus, my miniature pincher, he was the catalyst. He was the one that got me started in the first place because he was first diagnosed with Cushing's, and then he went right into diabetes, and we couldn't regulate him. His medication was increasing, his insulin was increasing, and he was about 5 at the time, and his prognosis was not good at all. And by the time he passed away at the age of 12, He was off of Cushing's medication, and we had able to reduce his insulin by about 25%. And I did work very closely with my vet, even though he thought I was crazy. He still listened to what I was doing and was kind of amazed when we started now to lower his Cushing's medication. And actually, towards the last year of his life, he wasn't on Cushing's medications at all.
That's a great story. So I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, I bet the animals are more accepting of this than the humans.
Absolutely. I do a lot of house calls. this is one house, a 16-year-old dog. Her name is Rosie. And Rosie has several cats that, you know, live with her. And every time I do a session with Rosie, all the cats come out. They sit on the windowsills. They're all in the room with us as I'm doing a Reiki and a crystal treatment for Rosie.
Yes. I bet, you know, that's what I tell people, but, you know, that sometimes you'll see this person and a lot of the animals or the pets will really migrate, and they'll say, you know, even sometimes you've got to be careful of that pet. But they're picking up on the energy just as the people. And I go, that's energy. That's just energy. They don't analyze. They don't have to doubt. They just know it is, and they'll migrate to that energy that they want to be coherent with. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, they don't have the walls that a lot of people put up, you know, when it's in regards to alternate therapies. And I hate the word alternate therapies because, in all honesty, modern medicine's only been around for, 150 years?
Uh-huh.
And this is what was done for thousands of years.
That's true. So how does one incorporate this into a grooming business? How did you go about introducing it to your clients?
When I first started introducing it to my clients, it was sort of like a journey for me because I was just learning a lot of this. And there are a lot of my clients that I have really good relationships with, and that over coffee and a donut or something in the morning when I'm there, we would sit down, we would just chit chat, and I would tell them what I was doing, and some would be like, yeah, okay, you can keep talking, you know. But for me, a lot was a simple demonstration: give me your hands, and I would just let them feel the energy coming from my hands into their hands, and they're like, wow, that's what Reiki is. I find that the best way for people who don't know what it is to show them what it is.
Yeah,
and then,
okay,
you know, the old brochures.
Sure.
And brochures, and I would put up on my website. If I was in a shop, I probably would have a nice big old sign saying, we now offer Reiki treatments. But I would just simply incorporate it into my everyday, because it's my environment, too. This is the environment I work in. So I want it to be as pleasant as possible. So I want the right music playing. I want the right scents in there. I want to have really good energy in there. And when I started working with the energy, particularly in my mobile grooming van, I started to realize that a lot of the pets that I was are much calmer. You know, the cats are calmer, the dogs are calmer, and calmer, nicer pets, you can groom them so much faster. A lot of the struggle went away.
You know, because a lot of people, sort of open, you know, Talent and Touch has been around now for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 20 years. And even though they don't talk a lot about the energy, but being in that touch really is energy work that's going on. It's just not presented as such. But a lot of people know, you know, I've done some Talent and Touch, and, you know, it really worked. The pet was calm and all, and I go, that's just the start of you're just not realizing energy-wise what you're doing. But
exactly.
It's obviously working, but Reiki's just another way of looking at it, more conscious of the frequency modulations that's really going on with it. So it should be, if I explain it that way, I've had some people become more interested in that.
Mentioned that a lot of the major hospitals have alternate therapy departments. And it's for their chemo patients and their chronically ill patients, and it's usually head up by somebody who is a Reiki master. In my area, the two major hospitals are Danbury Hospital and New Milford Hospital, and they both have alternate therapy departments.
Yeah, it is quite growing. It's quite the future. I just see there's just a growing openness for this. So I think it's pretty cool. But I know I didn't really ask you. Some people are going to certainly say, well, are you making more money because of this? Is it something that you offer a session like, okay, I'm going to charge you $35 for the groom and there's a fee for this Reiki session? Is that how you sell the service?
I generally sell the service separately from grooming.
Uh-huh. But might it be booked at the same time?
Generally, if I'm going to do any kind of energy work, I don't want it to be on the same day that I'm grooming it. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I like to keep it separate. I don't want to have a grooming session and then do a Reiki treatment afterwards, because you really couldn't do it beforehand. You would have to do it afterwards. And I do so many elderly dogs, it's just simply more than they can do in a day. And I do like the energy to be something special. I like it to be a standalone, and I'm here not to groom you, but we're here for an energy session instead. I think the animals appreciate that so much more.
How does one go about, in your opinion, to start learning some of this?
All right. If they would like to learn Reiki, it's just simply a matter of finding somebody in their area who is a Reiki master. Now, one of the things that when I started to be a little bit more vocal in the pet industry about, you know what, yes, I do Reiki, yes, I do crystals, there are a lot of groomers who are Reiki masters. They don't tell anybody. Because there was always that, you know what, they think I'm crazy, they don't understand what I'm doing, and they just, you know, it was almost a whole separate part of what it is that they do, and they would always incorporate it into their grooming business, but they would never tell anybody they were doing that. I'm hoping that by being a little bit more vocal about it, that it becomes more accepted, especially by those who are already doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It should be part of your grooming business.
Yeah, I actually, that's why I really encourage you to do this article, and I think it's time to have this more talked about, absolutely, because as you're saying, I know my mother is doing a battle, she's winning the battle with cancer and all, but when we were out there, I was seeing more and more, again, that term, that alternative care was available to her as well, so we can help get along the acceptance of this, and you know, if it works for somebody and does another, whatever, if it's working for somebody, what a wonderful thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Well, I want to encourage people to check out around Halloween Day, and that article that you did on it will be in the eGroomer at eGroomer.com if you're not a subscriber. And let's just touch on your work as an author of books.
Okay.
So Phyto and Crystals for Your Pet. Tell me about those books.
Okay, Let's Go Phyto, which is actually right now the current book out is Let's Go Phyto 2, which is simply an updated version of Let's Go Phyto. But that book was sort of born out of, because we used to take Ricky, my golden retriever. When we would go to trade shows, I always took Ricky because Ricky was my assistant pet tech instructor. And so we would travel a lot with him. And it was at that point I started to notice that lots of people travel with their pets, and I never quite noticed that before. And I would see dogs, you know, with the heads hanging out the window, totally unrestrained in the vehicle, people would go into the rest stops and leave their dogs in their car. And I'm like, it's not that they don't love their pets. They absolutely adore their pets because they're taking them with them while they're going on vacation and they're traveling. But there wasn't like a set of instructions on the right way to do it. So that is where that book came from. It was how to travel safely with your dogs. Preparations beforehand, preparations for afterwards, you know what, or maybe you're not going to take your dog on vacation. Maybe you're going to board them. You know, what is some of the information that you should have to make that trip less stressful? So that's where that book came from.
And then crystals for your pets.
And that is a very, very basic introduction to crystals and your pets, how to use them, a couple of suggestions, how to care for them, how to choose them. It's a very basic book for people who really know nothing at all about crystals.
And
would like to learn a little more.
Okay. So you identify which crystal, which frequency, which crystal for achieving...
I don't go into a whole lot of depth as far as in particular stones because that requires a little bit more advanced knowledge. I also don't want to, and that'll be a next book. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But there's just some basic knowledge on them how to use them.
Excellent. Okay. Are those e-books or are those actually...
They're both e-books and only e-books.
And where would people find those at if they wanted to check
out? At Amazon. It's on Amazon.com. And like I said, they're only available as an ebook.
Okay. I just was talking to about three different groomers in the last 2 days about we're thinking of writing books, and it's always, Steve, how do you get up on Amazon? I said, that's where you want to go, at least. It's amazing what's being done there. I'm transitioning into ebooks.
You know what? Amazon makes it so easy to do it. You're basically just simply writing the book, inserting your pictures, getting an ISBN number, and your book is published. And you don't have to have stocks and boxes of books yourself.
Exactly. I was even sharing with one author today that, you know, I just ordered 1,000 books, and I go, you don't have to order 1,000 books anymore and store inventory at home. The new print on demand, if they don't want to go e-books but they need a physical item, the new print on demand is just awesome. It's only slightly more, and you just order as many as you need, and the next day they'll print as many. It's like these incredible photocopiers, but they actually put a book together. Like it all covers everything. It's pretty amazing today.
It is pretty amazing. The only thing that I wanted for the books is that I paid somebody to do my covers.
Yes. Oh, sure.
And that was it.
Covers are so important. Yeah. Okay. So,
but other than that, there's no real expense with the books at all, and they're up on Amazon, and that's where they'll stay, and now anything that's sold is just, you know, a little extra money coming my way, which is pretty cool.
Great. Okay. Where are we going to go from here? I wanted to say there was one other thing here. I mean, you just do a lot of things here. Now, there was one that I overlooked, and I butchered the name, the other practitioner that you're it's the Lanai Ki, or how do you say that?
It's Manuakai.
Manuakai, what is that?
It's more shamanic. It's, you know what, it's they're all different forms of energy work. It's sort of like just simply a different delivery.
Okay. What do you think are going to be the big stories, the changes? What's going to be happening for 2014? Any thoughts? in green.
You know what? I have a project that's sort of like simmering in the back of my mind, and it does have to do with positive educational training. I think I want to do a different approach to what I already have there. I'm just not really sure on the delivery of it just yet. And until I form that, I'm probably not going to make any big announcements on it. But there's probably going to be a really huge change in the way I go about that particular site.
And of course,
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, you know, we like to always have a schedule of that. That's one thing we do a lot. A lot of people refer to our forums for what's going on out there. That's great. And I had something here. When you said salon sanitation, why don't you explain that a little bit more? Do you giving help with the type of, you know, people don't realize that sanitation isn't always heavily chemical oriented. Are you looking at newer ways with more green routes?
Well,
is there more green route to sanitation now?
Yes. I'm fortunate in the state of Connecticut that they allow for disinfectants that are essential oil based. I don't have to have the heavy duty chemicals in my van. I can have essential oils that are used for disinfecting, which is really nice. because, you know, you breathe that stuff in day in and day out. But with salon sanitation, the point for that is for a groomer to learn how to prevent cross-contamination between their equipment and the pets, and in between pets, and between themselves. You know, the last thing in the world I want to do, I have 5 dogs. I don't want to bring home something either. So not only do I not want to pass something from one client to another, I don't want to bring it home to my house.
Sure. So what are some of the things that you're talking about, methodology?
Well, it is sort of setting up a protocol that what you do in between dogs, what you do at the end of the day, what you do at the end of the week, so that any time that you – I mean, when I walk in my van in the morning, it's clean, which is really nice. But different products to use, what needs to be cleaned and what really doesn't need to be cleaned. I mean, do you really have to disinfect the shelf that's 20 feet up off the ground? Or the reception counter that the dog just jumped up on? So it's being able to look at your facility, your grooming van, your shop, know what needs to be done, what should be done in between, and even if it takes you a couple of minutes, it's going to prevent a lot of grief down the line.
Are there hazards with not having a van interior dry out? I mean, what do you do if it's so humid and it's getting all wet and damp inside? I mean, could that be a problem in the long run?
Yeah, it can. One of the bigger issues for the mobile grooming vans is mold, especially in the summertime. And for mold, I use bleach. It's about the only time I ever pull. There's a couple of instances where I'll pull out bleach. I pull out bleach for mold, and any time a pet poops, that's cleaning with bleach, because bleach, the only thing that will kill whipworms and parvo in poop is bleach. Nothing else. There isn't anything else that will kill that. So I have bleach for that. But I most certainly don't want to be bleaching my van day in and day out. I'm just going to have, like, no lung cavities before I retire. but where was I? Mold. Yeah, mold can be an issue. You have to have really good air circulation and know where your problem areas are. I know where the problem areas are in my van, and I make doubly sure that if it's really hot and humid, that I make sure that those areas stay dry. ACs, dehumidifiers, are all good ways of drying out the air. And depending on your facility, you might have to have some air recirculation units put into a facility if that really proves to be a problem. Then a lot depends on the construction of the building, too.
Have you ever written on, I think, you know, that's something you and I should talk about, because I don't think we've ever had something written up, especially for mobiles on that topic, on sanitation in a mobile. That's maybe a good thing. We were talking about new articles and things. A lot of people call me, well, what do you want, Steve? I go, I want you to help me think of these things, because they do come up, and I go, I got to write it down, because then when you want it, you know, it's there. But that would be a good article.
Okay.
Talk about that one. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, because I know I had talked with ISCC at one time, and there was a lot of forward movement on considering what happens if more OSHA standards were set for mobile groomers. And, you know, nothing really came about, so it's better to be, you know, more prepared, because that could be an interesting topic. Yeah.
It could be an interesting topic.
Yeah. So what else, what do you see for 20? Do you see any trends or something going on with grooming that you think is coming about in perhaps in 2014?
Yeah, I think there's going to be more of an emphasis on cat grooming. And I do believe that alternate, more spa-like services that include stuff like Reiki and T-Touch. I see a lot of groomers being more open to that and start to introduce that into their work environment. So I think those are the two big things.
Yep, I can see that too. I have been talking with here and there quite a few people that are, some are advanced along or some are just thinking about, but they'll get hold of me because we have grooming business in a box, and they say, and I'm going to write this for a cat-only spa, you know, and the definition of what's a cat-only spa and what the service is. But that's one of the most popular reasons for being able to write a plan, not just to get a loan, and write a plan not because the landlord says you got to have one if you want to be in this group center. I just had three of those today, let alone. People told that, but they go cat spas. I hear cat spas more and more as a reason.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah,
and I think you're going to see a lot more cat only groomers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're two totally different topics. And I mean, I groom both. I groom cats and I groom dogs, and they are, and no pun intended, but they're just two totally different animals.
Do you ever have some owners like that have both cats and dogs that you groom at the same household?
Yeah, I do. And when I have a household that has a dog and a cat, I always like to do the cats in the morning. I like to have them first in the van and then any dogs done afterwards. And a lot of that has to do with the shampoos, because I have a lot of the shampoos I use for dogs I can't use on cats because they contain essential oils. So I want to get the cat in first and then get the dog in afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I schedule, and being mobile, it's and I'm my own boss, I can schedule how I want. I'll schedule the cat in the morning, and if there's another household that has a cat and a dog, I'm just going to schedule them for another day so the cat is the first thing in the morning.
Excellent. How many of your clients, I'm trying to think, do they feel better knowing that you've been trained in these practices and that you're a certified master pet tech? Do you really bring that to the forefront in your advertising to the clientele?
They all know about it. Mobile groomers, in fact, I'm not taking new clients and haven't taken new clients in I haven't sought out, let's put it this way, I haven't sought out new clients in a while. The new clients that come into my schedule are referrals from current clients. Or I have a couple of vets that if they ask me would I groom this particular pet, there's usually a reason why they're asking me to do it, and then I'll just say yes. They just don't randomly give out my number, so when I know when someone calls and mentions my vet said I should call you, or this particular vet says I should call you, then I'll take them in. So I don't actively advertise my grooming, but everyone knows that I'm the East Coast Chair of the Professional Cat Groomers Association, that I'm a certified Master Pet Tech instructor, because that is that certification that they should know that their groomer has.
So do you, the people that are coming to, like, when you were doing the positive and all, what's the difference in the groomers that really want to learn and learn all they can and they get very involved? And then what do you think about those groomers that really just want to groom and they just don't go any further in the field? Do you think that's a trend in grooming, or do you think that's probably any trade? We always have those types.
Honestly, it's any trade. There's, from everyone that I have spoken to that are coming in from other industries into this industry, doesn't see a difference as a whole between this and the industry they were in beforehand. People are people. You know, you always got to have those people who just, you know, want to grab every bit of education they can and just want to be the best that they can, and others who are probably still using manual clippers.
Mm-hmm. I know, I get a little bit, since I'm not in the salons as much and all, and what's kind of nice is the people would come to the message board and or take part and listen to these. I'm just surrounded by so many groomers that do have all that aggressiveness about learning. And they're really, it's just a joy to work with this aspect. That's why I've stayed longer doing more of this internet. It's great to see. Think of before the internet, we just weren't able to get all this information out to people, and now we just have so much more. And it's pretty amazing to see how we've grown, all of us, in our knowledge base just by this networking with others. You know.
Well, you know what, and I think it's one of the positives of Facebook is that there are so many forums out there that, you know, if somebody has a question, you know,
sure.
They just go and they can post it in all sorts of places to get a really quick answer to what
That's
it is
correct.
To their question, which, you know, maybe 10 years ago that really wasn't quite as feasible.
No, it's a lot of times when people ask me any kind of question, just in life outside of grooming, I go, and I always say, did you Google that? Because it's just
amazing.
It's just like, I don't care what it is. I almost Google it if I have the slightest question, because it's just amazing how much the world of people have contributed something out there that you can just grasp in that second. So I think grooming's absolutely benefiting from all of this information at hand and what everyone's doing. And it's great because it's the individual groomer, everyone, putting out some information out there. And I have a lot of people at the board. I give props up because they come and they really want to help. You know, today we had many beginners, just notably today, asking information, and it was so great. It's like, I don't have to do it. There's just some great people that like to lead them and just say, did you know you can learn about grooming here, and today? So it's wonderful. And obviously I bring this up because look at what we've talked about today. You're one busy lady here in all different aspects, but you're sharing it, and I think that's wonderful.
Well, you know what? When I first started grooming, I had so many wonderful people who helped me. And I've just not forgotten that. You know, somebody took the time to help me when I was a newbie groomer. You know, somebody took the time to answer questions. I remember totally being in awe of Barbara Bird And back when I was just a new groomer, I had a question, and someone goes, well, give Barbara a call. And I'm like, call Barbara Bird? Are you serious? And so I did, and she picked up the phone. And I could barely get my question out because I had Barbara Bird on the phone, you know? And she spent probably about an hour and a half with me on the phone explaining something to me so that I could understand, you know, what it is I needed to understand. And I'll always remember Barbara for that, for doing that. I mean, I wasn't anybody. I was just some random person who called and asked her a question.
Exactly. Well, I grew up at, I was already an adult even, but in the 80s, in the 90s, really before the internet got busy, with my mother's book out there, people would call, and my mom would just sit down and, with, you know, she'd spend an hour or two on the phone, and I'd get such warm letters thanking her. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe she spent 2 hours with me just on some kind of question. She was pretty dynamic, but she was always giving of her information there, you know. That makes a lot of changes and just catapults people. She just likes to, you know, like Barbara, like what you're doing, to help people be more of a success at whatever their passion is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great family value I learned, because most of the time I was looking around for her, I knew she was probably at the phone because someone would call to place an order. Now, really busy, you can place an order in about 2 minutes. It doesn't take 2 hours. So, Mom, why are you still on the phone? Of course, you want to know about this and this and this. And then I told her this. And, you know, yeah, it's great. So. And, you know, Barbara Bird's one of my favorite people, too. She's a great contributor as far as to our magazines and everything. Yeah.
Barbara Bird is just, she's the bomb.
She is. And she'll back up everything with footnotes. I mean, I could count on footnotes and... She, you know, she does it the right way. She does her research the right way. It's great.
Oh, yeah, she does her research. And she has no problem correcting me when I'm wrong, let me tell you.
Well, she's well-studied and well-experienced. So.
Yeah, you know, so she corrects me. I know she's backing it up. She's not just telling me, you're wrong.
Come with you. You see, if she does an article, there will be one entire page of references to back everything she says. That's really
cool.
Well, I've got to start winding this down. I want to thank again, Ileana, you're still with us? I'm not sure. It looks like she's still dialed in with us and online, but she may not be there this moment. Mary,
thank you.
Okay.
There she is.
I want to thank you again. And, you know, anything we can do, you know, to spread information, whatever we can do to help with groomers, emergency assistance fund, or donating, and whatever you guys need, you just get a hold of us. And we'll
yeah, just that's mainly what we need. Spread the word.
Yeah.
Let everybody know that we are there, and, you know, we're here to listen for your requests and give you help.
Okay, well, you know where to find us, so just keep me informed, phone call or an email away, and we'll do that for you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mary, and we know where to find Mary, too, between the blog and all what you're doing. I want to thank you, too, and your work, and congratulations on that. That's an amazing award to get the David Sauls Award. So
thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And that's it. For now. I appreciate
awesome.
Your being here with us today. Thank you very much.
Very good, very good. And before we hang up the I still want to talk to you.
Sure.
Okay.
On this new system, it closes off. This is all automated Blog Talk Radio. So do you have my 800 number?
Somewhere. Yeah, I do.
Do you have a pencil? I'll give it to you because everyone can have it. That's where we take orders. So.
Yeah, hold on. Let me just go grab a pen.
Okay, and I'll let everyone know. We still have coming up in the next 3 weeks, we're going to have Colin Taylor is actually going to come with about his new book, We're going to have Todd Shelley from Barclay. That should be an interesting conversation. That's coming up pretty soon. We have some great guests. We are going to take a little break for the holidays. And starting in January, we've got some new names that have never been on the show. You know, there's a little bit more time to be online during the extreme of winter. So watch for a great new lineup of guests on the show. But I believe it is just 1 week, not 2 weeks, but 1 week from today, we're going to have Todd Shelley. And, you know, he's pretty much become a pretty important guy around Barclay and what they're going to be doing. So it should be an interesting conversation for us to see where it goes with Todd. And Mary, you got your pencil?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I do.
And if anyone listening needs information about PatGruber.com, you can use this 800 number. It's 800-556-5131.
Do me a favor. Repeat that one more time.
Uh-huh. 800-556-5131. Anything
good.
PetGroomer.com, you can ask us through that. So otherwise, thanks for being aboard, and we're going to sign off.
Good night.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Okay, good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Hold on, Mary.